this is the Anton Podcast. This is episode 18, Anton Comics, part 2 with Tyler. Hello, this is part 2 of the conversation I had with Tyler starting last week about comic books, in which we explained our comic book origins and how we got into comic books and why we love comic books. This episode continues that conversation, but also dives into the books I currently read, and I give you just a little insight on what is out there in the world of comic books for new readers. Instead of just doing, like, reviews on things, I at least wanted to start off and just kind of go through things and just kind of say, these are the things that I read on a, you know, monthly basis. Every single week I get them, but these are all monthly series. So I was just going to kind of go down the line and just kind of lightly touch on, like, what's out there in the diversity of comic books. It's not all superheroes. It's not all this and that. So I was just going to jump into things that I read, starting with A Voice in the Dark, an independent comic book where three issues in, third issue comes out next week, and it's a horror thriller story about a girl who is, I think, somewhere around 70 days without killing somebody, and she's going into college having flashes and urges to keep killing. She's only killed the one time. And I'll edit that out. Don't worry.
Thanks.
No one will ever hear that.
My secret.
But a great story where then she starts up a radio station in which anonymous callers can call in and just share their problems. And the first caller at the end of the first issue basically says, "I'm thinking about killing myself." And that just kind of ends there. Like, that, here's a comic book that has nothing to do with superheroes. It has everything to do with real-life characters and real-life situations. And not saying that, you know, an average reader could relate to, oh, yeah, I have those urges, too, where I'd, you know, thinking back to when I killed that person. But relating to the urges of being angry at someone and picturing in your mind being like, you know, I want to stab that pencil in their forehead, you know, and people can relate to that of just letting out frustration. And in this comic book, it is my number one most recommended book that's out there, a non-superhero book. It might be my favorite non-superhero comic book of all time.
Wow. And interesting. Yeah, I've got that. I had seen that. I think I bought or got an issue of Girls or something.
Yes.
And so Comixology suggested that, I think. Hmm. I can't remember how, and so I saw it, and then I heard on one of your podcasts you mentioned it, and
yeah.
I was like, oh, it's got the Anthony seal of approval, okay, you know, and so I've been meaning to get it, but yeah, that sounds really good.
And due to my love for it, I am now in contact with the creator, Laramie Taylor, who has since given me, he was looking for something online as like a Christmas gift, and he's like, whoever buys me this can will get free PDFs of all 12 issues for 2014. And I'm like typing right away. I'm like, all right, I'm in. And I was the one to do it. So issue 3 comes out this coming Wednesday. Well, I read it about, I think it was the day after Christmas, I think I read it. Actually, it was Christmas Day, I think it was. But yeah, this is a series that, huge recommendation. Going down the list, let me see, early on here, Afterlife with Archie. So you had mentioned reading Archie comics. I had some Archie comics that's a lot of them, getting the Archie Digest, and you can still find those. Actually, they're like basically the only comic book that actually still exists at that supermarket checkout.
Like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, picking up those digests. Well, there's Afterlife with Archie bringing in the zombies, with the zombie craze of this generation and this day and age. And now there's a zombie story in Archie's world. And super dark. It still has that humor in there. But it's a super dark tone of it, and they even had a Glee crossover about
what?
A year.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
It was about a year ago, and it's the craziest thing. But they take those elements, being like, well, we have to relate to the kids today. Kids like Glee. Let's bring Archie and Glee worlds together. They did it in a crazy, fun, hilarious 4-issue way, and right now they're doing it with zombies. So that's a high recommend out there. We had mentioned the Luna Brothers. Their work, at least. The Sword, Girls, Ultra. They have Whispers out there, which I actually haven't checked out yet. I was waiting for the collection on that one. But there's a brand new one that's out there by, I believe it's Jonathan Luna, Alex plus Ada. Third issue comes out this coming week, and it's about a guy who basically is a single guy, kind of depressed, doesn't... kind of wants a girlfriend and hasn't had luck, and I think he has an ex-girlfriend in the book, and they live in a futuristic world where his grandma, for a birthday present, sent him a girlfriend robot, basically, and said, here, you know, here's your girlfriend, and it's like state-of-the-art, you know, like Cylon, basically, and if you like anything Luna Brothers, this is, honestly, once again, falls right in line with all that other stuff.
Man, I'm so excited. I have to get, I want to get Girls first.
Yep.
And it that might be one of the first books I actually start buying in, because I'm scared to go down the comic book rabbit hole, because I have a limited funds, and I know
yeah.
that I'm going to be like, telling my wife, I want some comic books.
Yeah.
How much did you spend? Not very much. You know, I know I'll do that. And I'm like, so, but that might be one of the first ones I actually get issue by issue, because I'm very, I love me some Luna Brothers.
Yeah, yeah. And then the X-Men, what's going on? We've mentioned the X-Men a lot. Well, there's All New X-Men by Brian Michael Bendis. They're up to 20 issues, 21 issues coming out next week. And, it's dealing with the X-Men from the past, the original X-Men. They are brought into the present time to try to talk present Cyclops, knock some sense into him, because there is an Avengers versus X-Men event that led to something crazy, that led to him sort of being a bad guy and being reckless and breaking off into his own X-Men group. So now they wanted to bring his past self into the present to convince him and kind of remind him who he once was and what he stood for. And it's one of those that it's hard to figure out where to jump on. I want to say it's like maybe like issue 19 or 20 is a good jump on point, but it's constantly great. A thing that seems like would only last, you know, 6 issues, the concept of past X-Men coming to the present, being like, all right, that'll happen for 6 issues and then it'll go away. The fact that they're here to stay and it's been, you know, 21 issues in, that's a high, high recommend for me, from me. So that's fun. Let's see, Buffy and Angel and Faith will be showing up again in a couple months. Buffy season 10, which also goes hand in hand with Angel / Faith, in a season 10 format. So all these books connect. So we have the Angel continuity going on, but in the Buffy world, in the Buffy numbering and everything. So that's coming back. And that's the one where it's hard to recommend. Oh, just jump into season 10. Be like, no, you pretty much have to go back to the season 8. Like you said, you got the books and the collections. And let's see, what else do we have? Black Widow just came out this past week, so 2014 is going to be a good year for women comic series as far as Marvel goes. She-Hulk, we have, I just mentioned Black Widow, we got Captain Marvel, who is actually Carol Danvers, who was formerly Miss Marvel. She has now taken over what has been known as the male role of Captain Marvel, but now it's a woman in that role. She has a new jump on point launching series coming up soon, as well as Ms. Marvel. We have a new girl who is being called upon to be Ms. Marvel. A lot of good stuff there coming up for female characters. for something in the style of the Luna Brothers, as far as that epic storytelling of getting everyone, Clone is out there. They are up to 14 issues right now, but there are two trades up there to catch up. But just a crazy story about a man finding out he's a clone because his clones are out to murder him, basically. And that series, issue after issue, each ending page is just a, damn it, I gotta wait a month. That has that feel. So, Clone, highly recommended. Guardians of the Galaxy, currently 11 issues, and especially if you're a fan of the Marvel movies, that's definitely something just to familiarize yourself with this crazy ragtag group of individuals throughout the galaxy brought together. So that's on the list. Let me see what else is here. Non-superhero stuff. If you're into... Let's say you're into Secret Agent stuff, like your James Bond type of movies. Are you ever a James Bond fan?
Not so much. I enjoy it, but I it gets a little... it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, this is real world stuff, but the guy basically has superpowers, but nobody's coming out to say it. But it's almost like Batman, but for some reason, Batman's more... I don't know, it's not believable. Like, they're calling him Batman, okay? Yeah. Like, and he does all this stuff on his own. And so you're like, I'm suspending so much more disbelief, but when I'm watching 007, I'm like, oh, that wouldn't work out. He can't really do that, dude. Oh, that would totally break his back.
Yep, you
know?
Yep.
But when Batman does it, I'm just like, he's so cool! You know? So it's a weird... So I enjoy the gadgets. I miss the gadgets. In the newer movies, they're just like, oh yeah, no more gadgets. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah, that's what made the movie cool for me. But, yeah, it's pretty fun.
And I'm glad you said that, because that leads perfectly into a new series. Issue 2 comes out this coming week. I keep saying, like, next week. I'm forgetting that it's Monday right now. So, on Wednesday, which I think is when I'll release this podcast. With a batch of new comic books also comes the Anton Comics podcast. Nice. But The Illegitimates, which is the first several pages of the first issue, is that secret agent guy who basically is very cliche, where he cannot be harmed. You see him throughout the decades in a couple pages being, you know, the ladies' man and being like the unstoppable secret agent hero. And the whole series is about him actually dying, and what are they going to do when their number one agent has passed away? Well, all of those women that he had slept with throughout the years, they all spawn children, illegitimate children, in which the secret agency has been secretly training them to one day fill their father's shoes, and that day has come to bring all of his illegitimate children over the past couple decades now to see which one is going to take over as the lead agent.
That's funny, because he was, like, special for whatever reason. Maybe he was...
Yeah.
It's all to be revealed why he was so special. That's interesting.
So, like, James Bond, well, he's been, even though it's been a different actor every time, it's still James Bond every single time. We had James Bond Jr. and the cartoons and all that kind of stuff, but that's what's great about this series, and it's definitely very comedy-driven, very grown-up and very graphic and violent, but very comedy-driven, because it's co-created by comedian Taron Killam from SNL, cast member on Saturday Night Live, and also the husband of Colby Smulders, Maria Hill herself. So this is his debut into comic books. So if you like Secret Agent stuff, you have that, and you also have something that comes out with issue 2, or issue 3 this week, is Velvet by Ed Brubaker, who is the guy that is famously known for Captain America, and basically what we're going to be seeing in this new Captain America Winter Soldier movie. All kind of rooted from the storyline created by Ed Brubaker. He had recently said, you know what, I'm kind of done with superhero comics. I love what it did for me, and I love writing them, but he's like, I just don't want to write superheroes anymore. And now he has his creator-owned Velvet, which is a former female secret agent turned secretary, now gets back into the game, basically, that her ex-partner has died. And they're wondering, you know, how did he die? she basically needs to suit up once again, strap on the gun, and she needs to jump back into it. So if you're into secret agent stuff, those are two current series that are very fresh off the comic book shelf.
Yeah, the first one you were talking about, the Illegitimates, that one, man, that's probably got, I mean, you could go everywhere with that. You could flash back into how these people met the guy and how the moms met the guy and their relationship and why the kids were brought up the way they were brought up and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's pretty good open-ended story plot. I like that.
And if somebody, speaking of open-endingness, if somebody was thinking like, well, I don't want both secret agent titles, I want one, which one is for me? Well, let's say you want to... You want that commitment to just seeing that story every single month for the next couple of years. Velvet seems to be it's doing very well, but it seems to have that that tone right now where it will exist monthly as long as everyone keeps buying it. Whereas Illegitimates is, I think, going to be 6 issues, limited series. But that doesn't, you know, let's say those 6 issues do extremely well, then it'd be like, all right, next year, let's come out with Illegitimates 2 or the second round or the second arc. But so if you're into Secret Agent stuff, Velvet, if you want to jump into something that could possibly be, you know, like James Bond history and length and, you know, like a TV series where you know it's going to go on for a couple seasons and the story's going to exist, that's the way to go. But if you do want to contain something, Illegitimate so far is only going to be 6 issues. But if people buy it, that'll show them that they want more, and maybe they'll make more. After the first issue, I do want it to be an ongoing forever. That's how it was pretty entertaining.
Enjoyed it.
Let's see here. Let's say the Spider-Man world. To jump into Spider-Man, Doc Ock is Spider-Man right now. We're a year into that, so I say that because that
you
is...
You don't even like to say it. I can see it on your face.
Yeah.
It's like, Doc,
it's like...
Spider-Man. Yeah, and I have a hard time telling people that, too. I haven't even read it, but yeah, it's such a great twist. I'm just like, guess what? Yeah, it's... But yeah, your face, you're like...
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because it is so accessible for someone to be like, all right, pick up this first trade, you can see how Amazing Spider-Man ended in the same trade paperback to see how the new Superior Spider-Man began. So even though we are 25 issues coming out this week of this series, I still don't even want to talk about it other than I'm absolutely loving it, and I'm not going to go into any spoiler territory right here, but news-wise, there's something that is starting to slowly upset me to think that maybe Superior Spider-Man, to question how long will this series go when I thought it was going to be, you know, going on forever. Something comes out in April that may
cut it short or cut it away.
It's going to compromise that, which I'm sure will be very entertaining, but I'm loving the evil villain trying to do good and being a better, superior Spider-Man. So that's where the Spider-Man world is. There's Ultimate Spider-Man that's going on too, but since I'm reading the old stuff and not reading a current, that Miles Morales one that I spoke of, that's next on my list. But in the actual original 1960s continuity of where the Marvel Spider-Man character is, it's in Superior Spider-Man. Let's see here. So that we did a lot of superhero stuff. One other horror thing that is, it is quite a bit in, and it's probably very hard to just jump into a random issue, but Revival. Have you heard me talk about that one at all?
I don't know.
All the creators are from the Wisconsin and Chicago area, or I should just say Illinois area, and it's a horror story about the dead coming back to life, not in a zombie, you know, they look like zombies, but not in a zombie apocalypse where, you know, the army's coming out, we got to stop them. They're coming back to life, and their loved ones are basically just kind of trying to take care of them again, kind of put them out in the shed, put them in the garage or the barn, lock them up so they don't, you know, attack anybody, but their loved ones have come back, and they don't know why, and they're not necessarily extremely dangerous, but the whole idea of these people come back to life is very new, so there's a whole quarantine in Wausau, Wisconsin, which isn't too far away from where I'm located, and they use real cities and just highways and all that kind of stuff because these creators are from this area. So it takes place in a winter scenario, and it's one of those books that I make sure I read late at night and make sure there's very little light on just so I can actually read it, because it gives that chiller thriller element. They are into 17 issues right now, so it's hard to jump into, but once again, there's trades, and it's a great ongoing horror, creepy zombie, but not your traditional Walking Dead or your, you know, all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Let's see here. That pretty much covers. Now, I follow 32 series right now, which is crazy. At this time last year, maybe like a third of that. But there's so much good stuff, and Image Comics just announced their lineup for 2014, and there's so much new stuff that is just so intriguing, and it's honestly only going to get worse. And
aren't you planning on seeing a bunch of movies in 2015? You need to start saving your pennies right now.
Yeah, I know it's going to be tough. I think the best thing I'm going to do is have to get a job at the theater so I can have the right to see free movies. But that's where I'm torn, because I don't go see the movies, you know.
Crappy movies. Yeah.
You know, let me say this. If they told me, oh, you paid to see Avengers 22 times, let's say by the time I saw it the fifth time, they're like, you paid to see it five times? Just go in. I'd be like, no, here's my money. I'm paying for it the sixth time because I like to, you know, give credit where credit's due. So I don't do that just because, you know, yes, I like it, but I also want to make sure, you know, I'm giving that money to someone that deserves it rather than someone would be like, you've seen it that many times, wouldn't you just try sneaking in or just, you know, wait for the DVD? So, yeah, I have to listen to your warning because, yeah.
A lot of times I've found myself looking at a comic, you know, whether it's the library or whatever, or just, you know, producing things and being like, oh, that looks pretty interesting. And I always see that Image eye on the bottom and I'm just like, dang, these people put out some sick books.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy the angle they take on, or the angle that they appear to be going for in their publication history.
Yeah, they basically give, you know, the creators have all the rights. They're just help publishing it and getting it out there. And that's what's so great about it, because if somebody has to tell a story in Marvel or DC, it has to go through so many top honchos and editors and people, and then it gets trimmed down and this gets cut out and be like, well, you can't do that to the Spider-Man character. That'd be ruining, you know, we're not going to allow that to happen. But if it was Image Comics, they're like, this is your series, this is your characters, you have the freedom to do what you will. As long as you can bring in the sales, we'll keep, you know, pumping out the books for you. So for 2014, there's a lot of DC creators, guys that currently write Batman and stuff like that, that they have a lot of stuff coming up because they have these stories that they want to tell that they have the freedom to tell it. Whereas if I was writing Batman and I'd be like, well, I want Batman to read a My Little Pony comic book in this issue, there's no way that's ever going to happen. But if I created a superhero that's like Batman who reads what would typically be girl-driven stories, but it's my superhero, that would happen at Image Comics because that's his little quirk, but it's not ruining 70 years of history of a character that would never do that. But so that's what's hard.
There's too many people that could lose money off of your potential failure. They want something that's going to fly off the shelf and always win, and that they're in the business of making money. Whereas I think Image Comics is a little bit more like, well, you know, we're not going to lose big because we're not going to, you know, not as big a company.
Exactly. So out of the 32 series, I talked about, maybe a half dozen of them or so, just to kind of show what's out there. Also, in a couple weeks, Serenity, in the story of what would happen in the Serenity 2 if it would have happened, basically starts happening in a new Serenity Leaves on the Wind limited comic book series, outlined and executive produced by Joss Whedon, and written by Zach Whedon, his brother, who has done a lot, done work. He does mostly work in comics, whereas his brother Jed does like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV and stuff. Zach Whedon is the guy that's very comic driven and has dealt with the precious Serenity Firefly characters in comic book form. And now we're going to see what has happened since the crew in the Serenity movie.
Serenity. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
So now I just kind of just grabbed and picked and chose some of the, just to get a little taste of everything. And as we start to wrap up this this episode, do you have any questions or like interest of like, obviously you don't need more recommendations for things because I could give you all 30. I could sell you on all 32 of these series, I bet. And but is there any interest, any taste, whether it be a superhero story or like a secret agent story or just a everyday human story that sits like? Is there any recommendation that you're looking for? Anything that you cannot get currently that you're seeking for in a comic book story?
I have so many to read that I'm kind of I really like that Ghost in the
Say that again?
What's the name of that one about the girl who hasn't killed anybody in 72 hours?
A voice in the dark.
I was thinking of Ghost in the Dark. That's not the same thing.
Are you afraid of the dark?
I like those. I like a lot of the female empowering books, like yeah. The Sword, and I'm not a girl, so it's kind of hard to say, but I don't see a character like Catwoman as being as much of a empowering or edifying or yeah. honoring character of that gender that's under so much attack constantly. Yeah. So I enjoy books that give females a better.
Gives them the spotlight, gives them the better...
Yeah, gives them the spotlight and does it in an honorable way and doesn't do it in an exploitive way, because I feel like women are exploited constantly, and especially yeah. in comic books, it's kind of like, really? Seriously? This girl's just here to be with this guy and to be, like, all bumpy all over and look,
Yeah, to be the eye candy, to be the damsel in distress, and...
Yeah, and so I'm kind of like, well, and that's why I enjoy The Sword, that's why I enjoy yeah. Buffy. And all these things, so I really like stories like that.
With A Voice in the Dark, it is extremely realistic when you look at, like, let's just say the figure of all the ladies in that book. They're everyday normal female girls. They're not that Catwoman who is on the cover with her boobs sticking out and somehow her leg is up behind the back of her head while she's yeah. twisted around this way, falling out of a building, yet still smiling, like...
and showing both that she... Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's kind of like, well, but there's a spot for something looking larger than life. Like, I remember people getting all bent out of shape because the characters on Frozen, like, their eyes are bigger than their wrists. And I'm like, okay, well, you need to be able to see their eyes, okay? That's what makes cartoons yeah. so emotive and so fun. That's why they close up on people's faces. On a cartoon, you can have both. Big eyes, so you can see the emotion, whatever. So anyway, I like that kind of stuff. A question I did have that was comic book related was, how do you, and this is just a logistical question, how are you following 32 stories? Are you getting them to your house? Because I know I'm not delivering very many comic books, so how are people getting, because I'm a mail carrier, and I'm like, yeah. how are people getting these? Are you picking them up? A friend of mine gets his held for him at a shop. He has like some sort of subscription that way, and they just fill up a box for him, and he goes and picks it up down in downtown. Is that what you do, or how does that work?
It's a perfect advertisement for episode 89 of the AB Conversation, because in the comic book segment, yesterday that was recorded, available now on iTunes, I actually gave a very detailed, life-changing decision where I used to go to the comic book shop every single Wednesday until my local comic book shop was really giving me some bad business. And I'm not one to, like, start throwing out their name and address and phone number and just, like, I'm not going to pick at them or anything like that. It's a very... But they're going to be reached at a... But they're a very good source of going in there and getting your gaming, your board games, and your Magic the Gathering, and your toys and stuff like that, and getting many, many comic books. But because I follow so many series and I want to stay updated with those without running into spoilers, because I'm very much talking about stuff online, spoiler-free, but I want my books as fast as I can, and they weren't really doing that and fulfilling some orders to meet my needs, and just on a normal customer service level, really wasn't that impressive for what I was looking for. So I had recently subscribed to MidtownComics.com, in which I created a pull list system. I took those 32 titles, which can roughly be, depending on, you know, a slow week or a big week, could be anywhere between $30 to $50, depending on what it's going to be. But I now do that business with Midtown Comics where I subscribe to these books. They pull them for me. I literally don't have to do anything other than just make sure I have money in the card that they're going to be charging. And they will ship them to me. And I just have to walk across the street to my post office. I don't even have to spend gas money now. I used to spend 50 minutes round trip to go get my comics every single week. And when I would go there expecting them on that Wednesday afternoon, you know, hours after they would have been properly put on the shelf, then realizing those books aren't there, that wasted, you know, a 50-minute trip right there. And I'm in a town that really doesn't have a lot of entertainment other than grabbing something to eat, which was in between meals. So then I'm like, okay, I guess I'm driving home and wasting that money and time. And then I go, well, they'll definitely be there on Thursday. So I went back and wasted yet another 50-minute trip. And then finally I told them, I'm like, you guys should use your social media to update the customers that, you know, the one thing that you're known for, you know, the comics coming out once a week, you should let them know that they are not there and they are now there at a certain time so we can come and go. I'm like, if I lived in town, I probably wouldn't have been that bummed to drive over there. But the fact that I was spending almost an hour to get my books. But anyways, Midtown Comics, I'll get my first shipment. They're going to ship them out on Wednesday, so I'm not sure if I'll get them, you know, by Friday, Saturday. Hopefully, you know, I guess by the weekend we'll see once. But even though Wednesday won't be my new comic book day anymore, I will have that insurance of knowing that everything I ordered that I'm monitoring online is going to show up bagged and boarded, perfectly sealed and bubble wrapped. The bag and board I don't have to pay for. I get a discount on the comic. I get the bag and board for free.
That's what I was going to ask. So did you get like a tax break? I mean, it probably makes up for
yeah.
it because you're paying for shipping, right?
Yeah.
Like it's, okay.
And for shipping, for my orders, it looks like this is going to be like almost a $50 order because it's a big week this week, including a couple from last week that I didn't get at my physical shop when I basically gave them the notice that I was done with it. And so my shipping is probably going to be anywhere between like $3 and $5. So I'm spending, you know, I'm risking one extra comic book to pay for shipping, but I'm also not spending that money and time driving and paying for gas and possibly being disappointed. And I have the freedom, and it's not like I'm out on a mission now to stop all local comic book stores, because that's why I stuck with them, because I like supporting the local people. And lost my train of thought there. So with paying that shipping cost and risking that one extra comic, realizing I'm actually saving in the end, I'm still supporting physical comics opposed to supporting digital comics, which could, you know, one day destroy physical comics as it is with, you know, the DVDs and Blu-rays and all that kind of stuff. Not that digital comics are bad, because I get digital comics with some of my Marvel titles and stuff like that. I pay the $3.99 price for the book, but I also get the free digital copy. So when I went to my Wizard World Ohio trip, instead of bringing all these physical books with me, I just brought the iPad that had thousands of comics on it. And so I do like the digital comics, but...
Whoa, you can hear that?
Yeah. I'm like... Wow, that was awesome. For those people who do not have the video option that we do, I'm sitting here, we're looking at each other, and I hear some music playing, and I thought it was like maybe like his phone or something.
Yeah, it was my phone.
And I'm figuring like, oh, he's going to laugh and then just like switch it off, and he realizes that I'm not talking anymore.
I was like, oh, crap, my phone's ringing. I was like, ah, it'll go away.
That's funny. But anyways,
it was the Veronica Mars thing.
I will support physical hard copy floppy issues of comics as long as they are available to me. I don't think I'll run out of space, because then I'll just sell my bed, because I'd rather collect comics than sleep. I don't even like sleeping. That's a whole different podcast. But I will support the physical comics. So doing it through Midtown Comics, even though I'm ordering online, it's a physical store in New York City, and it's also the number one source for comic books online, and they're giving me great service right off the bat. And yes, I still have yet to receive my first subscription shipment, but I've purchased from them numerous times over the past, especially the past year or two, getting those rare books, getting deals on back issues and variant covers that I wasn't able to get because the store could not meet the numbers to qualify to get variant covers. Nice. That Gerarg is actually the perfect thing I'd love to hear. It's almost like at the Golden Globes or the Oscars or the Emmys, the music that plays that should be telling me to shut the hell up. Because we're almost at an hour and a half, but I think that's a good ending
that's
point.
Fine.
Yeah. That's the geek way of selling, like, oh, Gerard, get out of here, you know, being chased away by... Okay.
Playing off stage. Yeah. Yeah, that's the playing off stage noise.
So even though I'm not supporting the local physical ma and pa store, if you will, I'm still supporting physical comics, and I will until I physically can't anymore. If 20 years from now, digital comics is the only way to do it, then I will still be a fan of comic books, but digitally. And I'll look back at my comic books, and you'll look back at your coverless Calvin and Hobbes, to bring it back to the beginning of this discussion. So does that answer your question on how I get my comic books?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I was wondering, yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, 30. That's pretty sweet.
That's
and who are they shipping
them
through?
I'm pretty sure it's the USPS. Is that still?
That's me. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, yeah. Those little dings there. That was like perfect.
That's my freaking phone again. Golly.
Yeah. But anyways, I do like the convenience. It almost feels like I'm one step away from digital, because I've already now taken out the physical store. That's not going to stop me from going to Barnes & Noble and going in and like buying like graphic novels, you know, hardcovers, even though Amazon always seems the best way for it. But with digital comics, I do like that idea that if I subscribe to something digitally, as soon as the clock ticks Wednesday morning, that issue will be sitting there on my iPad waiting, you know, will be downloading for me. And the convenience of grabbing that story is great, but I also love that anticipation of, let's say I'm waiting to find out what's going to happen to Spider-Man this week, knowing that I have to go through a work day, go through eight or 9 hours of work, and then physically, you know, run to the post office, grab the box, go home, unpackage it. I still have that feel of anticipation as if you're waiting for the new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Tuesday, you know. So it's convenient.
It's interesting thing how much of our rituals are changing because of all the electronic. Like, usually you'd be like, all right, I can't wait to get home. I'm going to sit in my chair. I'm going to push my, you know, it's going to be, I'm going to wait until 8 o'clock for the show to come on. And now it's like, you know, you might sit in the same chair and it's like, okay, now I'm just going to set up my DVR or, you know, go to my DVR, go to my Netflix, go to my, now it's like, shoot, I watch a bunch of my Angel and Buffy on my phone. I got through at least 2/3 of Buffy, like the 177 episodes, all of them.
144 episodes.
144. See, I was close. all on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, on an iPhone 4, which is a tiny screen, but I did all in the library, just on my phone. And so it's changing our rituals. And the same thing with the books. Everybody would go to Borders, you know, and at midnight they'd have that release party for Goblet of Fire or whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, shoot, if I can stay in my pajamas and get it on my iPad at midnight, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's everything's changing the way that we celebrate and anticipate our stuff. I think there's things that are going to be lost with that, but I also think that we're just going to come up with new rituals. There's going to be new things that are fun to do. There's social media, you know, you can figure out a way, you know, to still have fun.
Totally. And speaking of having fun, that's why I go to comic books, because in the past year I've read more than I have ever read before, and even setting records right here in 2014 alongside comic books as well as novels as well. Just finished up the first book of The Hunger Games, and I read another young adult novel, The Fault in Our Stars, and I started my third book of the year as well as reading all the comics that I had already mentioned at the top of the show. But with comic books, it puts me in that world of fiction that I like it there. Not that, you know, I have a good life. I have nothing to complain of, but I love being in that fictional world with these characters that I can relate to and these stories that I can just open up a book and jump into it. And when you read a book, unlike sharing a TV show with someone, it's a personal experience rather than a shared experience going to a theater. So when I'm reading all those Spider-Mans, I'm the only one that's experiencing it at that time. If I were to sit there and have someone else, like, if people share reading a comic book, I don't think that really happens. You read it, and then you hand it off to the next person. They read it, and then you discuss it. And that's how I approached Buffy to begin with, where I was the only one that watched it, and I kept it to myself because it was my personal thing. Something that you can share with as many people that can hover around TV, but I tried to keep it to myself as long as I could because I enjoyed it. That it made me feel like I was there, and it made me concentrate more. And that's what I think I'm liking more about the comic book stories, is the fact that it is a personal experience of me just doing it, and it's a personal achievement of getting through this much, and I think I'm that much more feel accomplished when I complete a huge book, thinking that was a journey that I took with these characters that everyone else has the opportunity to, but I wasn't holding hands with anyone. I was just on that journey by myself. And I got way more deep than I thought I was going to right there. But that's how I approach comic books. And I love talking about them, especially this episode here. So,
no, that's interesting, because I wouldn't say I'm exactly the opposite, but I'm an extremely social person. And I when I'm reading something or enjoying something, I'm thinking about how it's changing me and how it's going to make me treat other people. How it's changing the way I view the world, and who I can share it with. I'm reading it, I'm like, oh man, so and so would love this. Like, I'm dying to get my wife to read The Sword. She don't read no comic books, but I'm dying to get her to like read it. Like, I'm just like, it's so good, you know. And it that feeling you get, like, I just want to share that. And yeah, that's interesting. And you know, when I read books, it's a great way, comic books or normal books, it's a great way of giving you the what ifs, you know. And like, people are always like, well, what if this happens? Like, what would you do? What would you think would be a good decision if a gun was to your head and all these other, you know, all these other things were going on and you had to do this, what would you do? And it has a great way of exaggerating the circumstances and making you think, was this a good decision that Harry or Batman or whatever did this thing decision and based on whatever they had to deal with or not. And, you know, it's kind of, it kind of makes me look back at myself and go, okay, you know, if not necessarily if this happened, like if I was hanging off a building or if I was hanging Joker off a building, like what would I do? Would I let go of the Joker? You know, like not necessarily like that, but a deeper kind of like how I feel about people who are really terrible in the world and going, okay, you know, what kind of sanctity do they deserve or whatever, and kind of analyzing that in myself. And that's pretty interesting.
And you mentioned Harry Potter and Batman, which immediately thought, like, I would buy that book if Harry was the Robin to, you know, the Batman, if it was Harry Potter and Batman in a joint series, you know, and just...
Gotham and Hogwarts, yeah, that could work.
Now, I think this would be a perfect wrap-up for the comic books, because one way that would ever happen would be in comic book form. Yeah, people could make a fan film for it and, you know, just throw it up on YouTube and hope, you know, no one throws it down copyright-wise. But I think someone could make that and not have to hear from Warner Brothers, even though they're both from Warner Brothers, actually, right?
Hey, I can see. Oh, hey. We might have something here.
I think so. We'll have to put this episode on hold and not publish it for everyone so nobody steals our your genius mention and then
our
me jump. But something like that could happen in comic books for the sense of the Super Mario Brothers movie from 1993. A lot of people think it's horrible. I love it for what it's worth. It didn't change my opinion of the video games. It just was a live-action adaptation, and they did what they could with the special effects and the budget. Well, 20 years later, it's been 20 years since that movie never got a sequel, except there's a sequel online in comic book form for free.
Right, I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah, so they're not making money on it, so that allows them to do it. It's actually some of the same creators from the actual movie. And here's something. I'm finally getting that sequel that I would have gladly paid in the theater when a lot of people wouldn't have after seeing that first movie. I'm getting it now in a comic book format. We're getting Buffy season 8, 9, and 10 in a comic book format. Supernatural, Vampire Diaries just started last week. All of these things. Dexter has a series right now.
The Guild. Even though the Guild is still going on, you're getting other things that you might not get.
YouTube. And this is what I love about comic books. They could give me all of these stories that would cost a lot of money to get in live action and movies and actors and studios and rights and contracts and blah, blah, blah. Why not just hunker down and tell those stories in an art form, in a written form? And I think that's where comic books are taking the advantage in my way of entertainment, because I can get what I want that I can't currently get, or I have to wait longer to get in TVs and movies. So, yeah.
And that's what you're getting. You read the Harry Potter books and you're like, and I'm reading the book and I'm like, oh man, this is where I put the camera, and this is how this would be, and this is how she would look when she said this, and this is the angle, and this is how this would look. And then I'm thinking, oh, this is what would look so good in a graphic novel. Like, I just want to see this picture of him doing this spell or whatever on a graphic novel, like in the comic book form. I think that's what comic books can do so well. So they're like, all right, we have this scene. We don't need to tell the whole story. I don't need to describe the way something looks. Let's just draw this thing. And this is what this thing looks like. It has lines right here. I don't need to write two paragraphs about what the room looks like. I'm just going to draw the room once. And then you don't have to create it. You don't have to, like, whittle it out of, like, styrofoam to make it, like, spray paint it and make it look all cool for a movie.
Yeah.
Just draw it. And then you can put the cameras, quote unquote, where you want them. You can put them as close, as far away, and you don't have to worry about actors or hours or time, like sunlight. You don't have to worry about any of that. You just draw it, and it gives you so much more freedom. And when I read a book, I'm like, okay, I can see this movie, but I can see how movies have so many more limitations than a comic book and a regular book, because you can just churn them out.
Yeah,
it's a really fun medium.
And unlike a comic book, this podcast cannot be drawn out unless there's some talented artists that are listening, but you just have to hear us. And so that's where comic books is better than this podcast. But I figured if we talk about comic books on the podcast, like Hannah Montana says, you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And that's the Anton Podcast. Brilliant wrap-up by your host, Anthony, and my special guest, fan favorite, Tyler. Hold for applause is what I'm doing. Everyone's applauding.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't want to talk over because then I'd have to pause it. If it was a live event and people
are clapping. I'm bowing right now. I'm taking multiple bows. You're throwing roses on
yes.
the stage. That's what's happening. So.
Yep, I'm picturing those roses. Everyone's just on their feet. Everyone's just going crazy at home. But yeah, definitely there's still tons of stuff that I think we didn't even touch on that we'll have to do again. But I definitely like this version of the comic book podcast rather than me just saying, all right, here's what's happening this month. Here's what's happening. You missed this? Well, I'll tell you what happened. So thank you for making that happen. This has been Anton Comics, and I'll see you between the panels.